Good morning and Lord's blessings to all of us. It's good to be back. Very good to be back. We had a very nice time as a family and greetings from the brothers up there in Alaska. I don't think there's any of you that know them there, but there's a good little group of believers there and they send their greetings to all of us here. So we had a nice time with the brothers there, and then we had a nice time as a family, and it's a real blessing. It's good to be back. I don't know, this morning when we left home and headed this way, we were just talking about it seems like so long since we've been here. Just seems right. And obviously, there's a number of brothers that aren't here this morning, some sickness and some traveling and some various things, various ones that are gone, but it's a blessing to be gathered in Jesus' name. It just really is. A couple of weeks ago, I had started a sermon, Sitting, Walking, and Standing, and I didn't finish, and so I'm going to call this part two. I didn't finish, and I'd like to this morning do a continuation of that, what I started a couple weeks ago. So could we all just kneel together to pray? Father in heaven, we give you much thanks. We thank you, Lord, for the great salvation you brought to mankind. Thank you, Lord, for the peace and joy in our hearts. We thank you for the word of God, and we thank you for the ability to, as a brotherhood, be here together and open the word and sing, lift our voices and worship you and give you praise through our voices and singing. We thank you. We can open the word and read. And thank you for the preaching of the word. Thank you, Lord, for the word that has been brought to us this morning and how it inspired our hearts and has already given us courage. And we just ask in Jesus' name that you would again give clear thoughts and burdens. And Lord, just come and help us to understand and connect with the Word of God in a way that will help us in our personal walk with you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your grace upon us. We ask that you would meet every need that is among us here. We ask, Lord, that you would pour grace upon those that need grace and strength, and Lord, conviction where there is need for conviction, and Lord, wherever we find ourselves, Lord, we're gathered in your name, and we just ask, Lord, that you'd minister to us here. So, Lord, give me clear thoughts and the ability to communicate in a good way. So be with us, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen. Here a couple weeks ago when we started looking at the subject here, one of the questions that we had as we started was, are you a saint or are you a sinner? And if you remember, there was various thoughts and opinions, and we started in with that. And we looked at and I just want to give a little bit of a review before going into what we have here today, but we talked specifically about sitting, we talked about walking, and I want to talk about standing. And in looking at where we, as a subject we looked at, we considered sitting, what sitting is, and specifically looked at some of the scriptures in Ephesians where it talks about how that Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. After he resurrected, he rose up. Now he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Now it says that we as God's people, are seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so that's who we are. And so in order for us to look at these different ones here, we want to very clearly have in our minds of where we are in Christ, our position with Christ, where we find ourselves in our walk with God and sitting with Christ in heavenly places. And he has already come and he has given his life. And so he has, I'm going to say, won the victory. So in Christ, we are seated in heavenly places. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ. And if we don't have a clear understanding of our position with Christ in this area, how can we walk with him in a good way? And so we looked at where we are with Christ, our position with him. And specifically, the scripture that we looked at is in Ephesians 1:17 through 20. And I'm just going to read this. There's various verses we looked at, but here it says that God, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of his glory is, of the inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. He set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Then we went on to look at the scripture that says, and made us to sit with him in heavenly places, us with him. That's a very beautiful, beautiful scripture. Then we went on and looking at the subject of walking with him. Walking with him and what walking with him really is. If we don't know where we are with Christ, how can we walk with him? If we are with Christ, seated in heavenly places with Christ, then with that we can walk with him and live in victory, live above sin. And we look specifically on how to overcome sin, how to walk with him, and how the victory is already won, and the difference between us entering into that rest, us entering into that victory, and making specific choices with him because he's already won the victory. And we talked about walking with him and overcoming. There's a couple of verses we looked at in Ephesians 4, verse 1. It says, Romans 6, verse 4 says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life, for we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. We shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. He talks about the knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. And we looked at that whole realm. And so, again, we looked at sitting with Christ. We looked at walking with him and walking in freedom and walking in victory, and the difference between us just with our own strength or entering into that fullness with Christ, having that where we recognize us to be with Christ, the victory is won, and so we enter into his strength and power as we have repented of our sins and have that changed life within us. Now today we want to look at the subject of standing. Standing with Christ. Specifically, what we'd like to look at is more what I'm going to say, spiritual warfare. A spiritual warfare of the Christian. And when I use the term spiritual warfare, there's many things that can go through our minds, and I'm going to say there is a spiritual warfare that many, when that term is used today, there's times that it's used in ways that is not biblical. Maybe I would first use the term, when we say spiritual warfare, there are those deliverance ministries. You know what I mean? Have you heard the term deliverance ministries and spiritual healing? And there's terms used like, you know, deliverance and waging war against Satan. And not only that, it's pretty common. I would say pretty common. Yes, I've heard it a fair bit over the years where people will actually, in this whole deliverance, waging war against Satan, they will go and in a little group or as a personal, they will walk around the city claiming that city for Christ and waging war against Satan and quote, freeing cities and little towns and various things. You've heard those things, okay? That's not what we're talking about. As we go down through here, I'm just going to say that when we talk about spiritual warfare, Scripture gives definition about what those things are, and Scripture is clear, and I want to give some definition. There is, very clearly, there's things that happen in casting out evil spirits and things that are very biblical and scriptural, but then there's a whole realm of things that are not right. And I'd like to just walk through those things. So when we look at standing, when we look at the subject of standing, there's a couple of scriptures we want to look at to give us an introduction to all that. Stand, therefore. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll just read a number of verses here. Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to start reading in verse 10. And it says these words, and listen carefully as we go down through here to get the heart of what we're looking at here. Ephesians 6, verse 10, "Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand," and right here is where this part of the title comes from, "that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Now, I would like to draw our minds clearly to this word stand. Now, if you look at at the picture here, when it uses this word stand, it says here that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, I would like to propose that in this big picture of spiritual warfare, often you see this picture put out of there being an aggressive fighting against, and what I'm going to say, a launching into, because we want to overcome him, we want to go out and conquer the enemy. And I'm going to suggest that that is different than what the scripture is talking about here. It's different. These verses here gives a picture of us standing against, because we have already, through Christ, the victory is won. Through Christ, the victory is won. And since the victory has been won, we stand here against our enemy, and we stand against the adversary to hold our ground and not to go forth and to conquer him. And many times when we hear people talking about this whole subject, it's with the idea of going and overcoming him and and moving forward, rather than a standing against and holding a ground. And it's very different. I'll look closely here, and I'm just going to again draw our attention here. It says in verse 11, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." It's very different than going into a war and us going in and fighting and going and overcoming and conquering him. Very, very different. Gives a totally different picture. But he gives a picture of standing against. Through Christ, we have already won the victory. And so we're standing with Christ in heavenly places. We've already won. And so we're here in this wrestle. There is a battle going on. And with the battle that's going on, we're holding our ground, and there's a wrestling going on. He says here, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." Now, I'm just going to stop right there. Is there anyone here who has had issues within the family, with your husband, and between husband and wife, or between parents and children, or between brothers and sisters in the church, and it's felt like they're against me? Have you ever had that? I have had that. In fact, I'm just going to be very honest. Last night, as I was preparing this and looking at it, there are thoughts that kept coming to me, and as those thoughts came to me, I realized it feels like Satan is bringing these thoughts into my mind to allow things between me and other brothers. Right? That was there. Last evening, as I was preparing this, there was these thoughts going on in my own heart. And there were things that I could have allowed to come. And there was a very clear, there were things happening. And Scripture says here, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Many times within the home, and many times within the brotherhood, there are things that come up, and there's what I'm going to say, conflict, various things that come, and we take it very personally between us. Here it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers. Now, this gives the picture of, I'm just going to maybe paint a picture of many years ago when the children of Israel were in the promised land, and there was King David, and there was the Philistines. There's two principalities. There's two powers. And those two powers were there, and there was a conflict between those two powers, the Philistines and the children of Israel. There was conflict there. And there was never peace between, never. There was never peace between the Philistines and the children of Israel. There was always conflict there. And I'm just going to say that today, in the very same way, there is great conflict between our adversary, the devil, and the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of heaven. There's great conflict there. And that great conflict, there's some in this world, there's many, and I'm going to say the majority of the world is under the dominion of Satan. Are you with me on that? The majority of the people here in the world are of the kingdom and the dominion of this world. Then there's a smaller minority that are here with the kingdom of God. And for those of us who are in the kingdom of God, our adversary, the devil, is trying to get us into the kingdom of Satan. And so there's a continual conflict going on. And he's trying his very best to do things to get us away and to bring us back, to bring us back into his kingdom. He's doing his very best. Now, he says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, I'd like to maybe talk a bit about what the wiles of the devil, what that is. If you look up that word, wiles, wiles of the devil, it means this: craft, deceit, a cunning device. They lie in wait to deceive, to craft and deception. That is what the devil is trying to do to us. Now, the devil, every day, if we are here and we are of the kingdom of God, the devil is trying to bring deceit, to craft. He's lying in wait. He's trying to bring things to get us away from God and away from the kingdom of light. There's wiles going on. There are things going on that he's specifically trying to lure us away. Now, with that whole thought, it gives a picture of what I'm going to illustrate as a snare. The wiles, there's crafts going on, there's wiles going on, like a snare. Now, I have never, there's various kinds of snares. When I was young, I did a little bit of trapping. I was never into that real much. But when I was maybe 12 years old, there's a neighbor man that was a good friend of ours. His name was Dan. And he sort of took interest in my brothers and I. And he took us where we lived. We had a creek running down through the bottom. And he took us down there, and he taught us how to trap muskrats, how to snare them. Now, it's quite different with different animals. But for these, to trap muskrats, you have to find where their home is, where their hole is, and you put these snares in front of their hole, and you have to set it just right so that when this muskrat swims underwater out of their home, you catch them. And it has to be done right. Everything has to be done just right so they don't detect what's going on and try to swim out around. Now, we did that with muskrats. There's various snares that are used today. There's foot snares, there's other snares that are used, and you know, for foxes and coyotes and all kind of stuff. Now, I never got into all that stuff, but you know, I know there's some of you that have, in various ways, used snares, and for some of those animals, you have to do it in a way, you know, it's pretty hard, because those animals are pretty smart. You know, you take a fox or a coyote, some of those animals are pretty smart, and so you go out there and you figure out where they are, how to bait them, how to trap them, how to put this snare out in a way that you can catch them without them detecting what you're doing, right? People do it all the time. And a lot of animals are actually caught with these snares. And, you know, for various things, you know, for their pelts, for their skins. And I remember our friend Dan was his name. He's still my buddy today. But our friend Dan, he taught us how to skin those muskrats and how to stretch them and how to sell them. You know, he taught us all that good stuff. But I'm going to suggest that here we have, that's the picture that I get about Satan, that he is looking. He's looking at each one of the brothers. He's looking at Joel. He's looking at Cornelius. He's looking at David. He's looking at Durkee. He's looking at Jeremy. He's looking at David. He's looking at each one of you brothers. And he knows us, right? He knows us very, very well. He's looking at Larry. He's looking at each one. And all of us have our strong points, and all of us have our weak areas. And he's looking for the weakest area that we have, and he's putting out his snare to try to trap us and get us lured away and then somehow get us away from our walk with God. Okay, that's what our adversary is doing. He is there, okay? It uses the term the wiles of the devil, right? The wiles of the devil. So he's looking, and with great carefulness, he's watching us. And I am convinced, excuse me, and all of us know that there are people who have walked with God, there are people who have been faithful to God, and in that whole area of, you know, all of us have our weaknesses and our flat spots and all of those things, there have been many people who have walked in faithfulness, and then as time has gone on, when they weren't at a place where there was a carefulness going on, and there was things maybe going on in the heart where there's carelessness. And in those times of carelessness, the adversary was able to come with his snare and ensnare us, and people have gotten caught. Now, we're talking about standing, right? Standing. We're talking about standing. Standing against the wiles of the devil. That's the picture that he gives in this whole spiritual warfare. Now, as we go on down, we want to look at more things. But this is, in this passage that we're looking at, that's the picture that he's giving. That's a picture that is painted to us that our adversary, the devil, is determined to come with his snares, the wiles of the devil. He's trying to come and trip us and get us away from God. That's his intent. Now, I'd like to go on And by the way, before we go on, maybe you can just help me. I think we need to be practical. I think we should. Can you give me some things that Satan uses in a practical way to snare your life? Work. Okay. Huh. I thought you were supposed to work. Too much. Oh, there you go. Too much work. Good. don't think that is quite bright enough, but I'm going to write some here. Work, and he specifically said too much work. Good. Others, what are things that Satan sends your way to ensnare you? Others? Money? I thought you need money. You do. Okay, all right. The love of money. Good. Too much. Others, what are things that Satan uses to ensnare you? Play. Oh, entertainment. Isn't it okay to play or have any entertainment? That's good. Play. Going to have play here. Play, entertainment. Good. Others? Lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Flesh. Lust of the flesh. Lust of the eye, the pride of life. And by the way, in looking at this subject, I want to be very clear. Scripture is clear that we are drawn away of our own lust and enticed. Today we're specifically talking about the snares of the adversary, but then there's also a flip side of our own lusts. So I don't want to paint this picture that this is where all the temptation come from. Some of the temptations and things come from our own lusts, but then there's also some of these things that are coming from the devil himself. Okay, so there's two places, and I'm specifically focusing today on the things that come from the devil. But I'd like to also be clear, there's also our own flesh where things come. There's things from our own flesh that also come as well. Okay, other things here. Pride. Pride. Wrong music. Thinking highly of ourselves. Wow. Oh, you've never had that, Joel, have you? We all have, right? I have. Okay, so I'm just going to stop there. But there's a whole, I mean, we could have a whole big list. There's lots of things that go on. You and I, there's things that are going on in our hearts. And our adversary, the devil, is looking. He sees what we're doing. And so when he sees how we're reacting, he goes and puts in things to tempt us and to shift us away from God. To tempt us. Those are the wiles of the devil. And he is specifically trying to do that. Now, I'd like to move on here. It goes on here and says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So there's a whole realm of wickedness, spiritual powers, all of these things we are, and I'm just going to say, we're standing against our adversary, the devil. We're standing against him. We're not here fighting this battle and trying to somehow win. The battle's been won, and so we stand here in Christ, and we stand against the wiles of our enemy, which is the devil. We stand against that. Now, there is this theory, and it's not just a theory, but when there's when you're in any type of competition or various things, there's one part that is you're being defensive. You're on the defense, right? And you tell me what the other is called. The offense. Now, what I'm describing here, which one of these is it for this? The defense. Sometimes we get the idea that we are in the offense against the devil, and we're going to be offensive in the offense, and we're going to go and we're going to really fight against him. I'm just going to say that's not what this scripture is saying. That's not what the scripture is saying. The scripture is specifically saying, stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, I will just go on here. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. Having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I'm going to stop there. Now here he gives five tools. He gives five tools here that are meant for us in us as a soldier, us as a warrior, us as being a part of the kingdom of God. There's five things that are mentioned here in that God has given us to be able to withstand and to stand against the wiles of the devil. There's five things that he's given us here. The first one is your loins girt about with truth. Your loins girt about with truth. Now, just yesterday, I had someone stop in at our house. He's a person that I knew from years back. He doesn't profess to be a Christian today. He would have earlier in years gone by, he would have professed Christianity. And in our conversation, we had a good conversation, but in our conversation, many memories came back of things that happened. And in this conversation, I told him this. I said, you know, in bygone years, you have said a lot of lies to me. And his head went down. Here it says, your loins girt about with truth. If we are able and we're going to stand against the wiles of the devil, we have to live a life of truth. We have to know the truth. And and everything about us has to be a reflection of truth and honesty. Many of us, all of us, there's something within us that wants to hide. In fact, yesterday, this person that I was talking with, his son was along. And when we had this discussion, he said this. You know, when I said what I did, the son spoke up and he said, I told my dad on the way here, you've got to be honest and you've got to say the truth. If you're going to get anywhere, you've got to be honest. You've got to say the truth. But there's something within us that wants to hide. Am I right with that? There's something within us that wants to hide. There's something within us that wants to cover up a bit. But here it says, we need to gird ourselves with truth, both the way we represent ourselves, in honesty ourselves, and stand for the truth. Everything about what we portray and live for has to be an expression of truth and honesty. He says this way, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. Truth. It's one of the weapons in when our adversary comes our way. We have got to be honest. We've got to be true. We have got to stand for what's true and right. At the core of it all, there has to be truth. The second one, he goes on and says, having on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness, where do we get our righteousness from? From Christ. How do we get it? How do we get righteousness from Christ? How do we receive righteousness from Christ? Being in Christ, by faith, by repentance, repenting from our sins, turning to Christ, having faith in Christ, and then Christ comes and puts His righteousness within us. We become righteousness through Christ. That's the second thing. So honesty, truth and honesty, and then righteousness, the righteousness that God gives us. Thirdly, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Your feet shod with the preparation. So in other words, wherever we go, we're sharing the gospel of peace with people. Our mouth is open. We're sharing wherever we go. During the day, you know, on the flight home the other day from Alaska, on the flight home, I was sitting beside a man, and we talked a long time. And we had a wonderful conversation. But he said this. He said, yes, I'm a Christian. When I asked him if he's a real Christian and I described what a real Christian is, he said, no, I'm not one of those. And when I talk with him about what, you know, how, you know, what he's going to tell God if he stands before God one day, on what merit is he able to go to heaven? You know, it'll just we had a wonderful conversation. I'm just going to say that God wants us to be at a place where just a part of our everyday life, there are things, sometimes small, sometimes, you know, there's times that it just doesn't feel right to have a long conversation. And I make comments that clearly draw people's mind to God, and I leave it at that. But there's something about, there's it's a part of our life. There's an expression of the gospel of peace that is constantly going forth. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Taking the shield of faith. The shield of faith. Now, that's a big subject, and we could spend, I'm not sure how many messages on what faith is. But I'm just going to describe it this way, that at the very core of it all, there needs to be within the believer's heart a faith and confidence in God and a trusting in God and our dependence is on God and we trust Him for every area of our life. Many times, we become, what I'm going to say, self-sufficient. I find myself becoming self-sufficient. I learn how to do things. I become good at things, and I become self-sufficient. And faith is when I trust God for every area in my life. I trust Him. The shield of faith. Number five is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This Bible, the sword, this Word right here, this is a part of our, what I'm going to say, a part of our armor. It's a part of these five things, this Word of God. Many times, there are things that come our way, and our mind goes back to the Word of God. And what the Bible says, that's how it is. It's accurate, it's sure, it's true. It divides this Word of God. It's a sword of the Spirit. And again, I come back to sitting in Christ, walking, or learning how to overcome the sins and overcoming ourself and flesh, and then learning how to stand against the wiles of the devil. Learning how to stand against. Now we go on down in the next verses here, in verse 18. And just read there with me. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. Now that is a little verse tucked in there that's a pretty big verse. And I can't say that I am accomplishing all this. Well, let's just read it again. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. How are we supposed to do it? In the Spirit. How many of you pray in the Spirit? There's these smiles, right? Right? Praying in the Spirit. Goes on and says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. For how many different saints? I look at this verse and I say, Lord, help me. Praying in the Spirit for all the saints. Specific prayers. I think many times, here's a part that many times we're negligent. He goes on and says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the truth. Now, there are a number of things that are mentioned here. One is praying in the Spirit. One is watching with perseverance. Can anyone tell me what it means to watch with perseverance? Anyone? What does it mean to watch with perseverance? Be alert. And what does perseverance mean? Keep on. So, being alert. In other words, is there any needs in our midst? And so we're alert to the things that are going on in our midst. And we're persevering and constantly praying. Praying that God would come and by His Holy Spirit draw. Bring victory over sin. Bring, you know, whatever it might be, whatever those needs would be. We continually pray. How do we pray again? In the Spirit. Can you describe to me what it means? What does in the Spirit mean? Not in the flesh. It's good. Not in the flesh. And so what is in the flesh?
My way.
What I want. Good. It's good. Then there is also a request made. Paul put this little request in there. Can anyone tell me what the request was that Paul made for himself in this prayer? Can anyone tell me? Paul made a request for himself in this prayer. That he may open his mouth boldly. Paul said, these are the things, this is how to walk, but pray for me that I can open my mouth boldly to proclaim the gospel. Now, was Paul a bold man? We all nod our heads. Paul was a bold man. But not only was he bold, he was asking them to pray for him that he could boldly proclaim the gospel wherever he went. Now, we want to continue to move on here and look at another couple points here. There are some specific things in this whole idea of standing against our adversary, standing with Christ. We've already, through Christ, the victory is gone, won. And yet, even though the victory is won, we ourselves need to engage with Christ. Because even though the victory is won, look at all the people who are living in the flesh. There's decisions that you and I need to make. Walking by faith in what's been done. Now, there's an interesting little phrase here in Acts chapter 4, verse 7, and I'm going to read it here. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? By what power or by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good done of this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye have crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand whole before you. Now, in our standing with God, we are doing this in the name of Jesus. Now, I'd like to give a little story. Here some years ago, I remember clearly one of our boys, he had come and said, hey, can I take the four-wheeler and go out and get the mail? And I had said, yeah, you can do that. You know, our our driveway is about a quarter mile long. So he quickly was running to the four-wheeler, and one of the other boys said, "Oh, you're not allowed to do that." And guess what the other one said? He said, "Oh, Dad said I'm allowed to." All of a sudden, my other son had nothing to say because he was doing it in Dad's name, right? He was doing it in Dad's name. I'm going to suggest that right there, okay, that's it. Us, if we're doing it within God's will and according to His name, all of a sudden, there's power there. There's authority there. There's, you know, it's all there. If we're doing it in His name, all of a sudden, all questions are put aside. And if it's in God's name, in Jesus' name, if it's in Jesus' name, there's authority there. All of a sudden, the adversary has to move aside. All of a sudden, there's, you know, there's freedom, there's authority in God's name. In Jesus' name, there's authority. Here, with the things that were happening, you know, the people were saying, you know, by what authority or what name are you doing all this? And his answer was, "Be it known to all of you, I'm doing this in Jesus' name. And I'm doing this in Jesus' name." Everything was put to silence. So we do these things in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we ask. I don't know, I've been challenged a bit. As I was preparing for all this, my mind was going many places. As I was preparing this, my mind was going many places. And not only was it going many places, I crawled into bed last night. And during the night, you know how it is if you're thinking about something. And my mind was on a sermon that I'm going to share today. And my mind was going various places. And my mind, and I was just asking myself, in various of the situations that I have come up against personally or as a brotherhood, as a church, I was just asking myself the question. This word says, "Ask in my name and I'll give it to you." And I was asking myself this question. How serious have I been in asking in my name, in Jesus' name? How serious? Where have I really been at? And I've gotten stuck on that. You know, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find. And I'm just asking myself the question. I'm asking myself the question, what about us as a brotherhood? Have we been really doing this? Or how much are we depending on our own self and our own knowledge and how much? I'm just asking those things. And I felt very challenged in my own heart. I felt very challenged. This is what it says. "Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified. And if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Now John 15:16, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go forth and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you." I was just asking myself, how much am I really asking? And how much if we would really be asking and calling out in Jesus' name, how much, what would really happen? Now, these are things that happened to Peter. Peter said this. He said, "In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." Paul said to an evil spirit, he said, "In Jesus' name, come out of her." And I just sat there last evening just thinking. I remember some years back being in a situation where there's a sick man. He had been sick for many years, and he was actually an unbeliever. He was an idol worshiper. And I remember telling him, if you repent of your sin and you turn to God, God's going to take your sickness away. And I remember, after I said what I did, I remember coming home and just wrestling with God. Did I say the right thing? And I remember wrestling with that. But sometime later, he actually did repent. And when he repented of his sin, he was able to walk. Now, but I look at these things and I look at Scripture. There's authority and power in Jesus' name. And I wonder sometimes whether we're living in the fullness of those things like God really wants us to. I ask myself that. In this whole subject of standing against the wiles of the devil, there is times when evil spirits need to be cast out. There is times when some of those things need done, but I'm going to suggest that these scriptures that are many times used to promote what I'm going to say, these spiritual healings and these spiritual, all this spiritual warfare thing, I'm going to just say that the scriptures that are used to promote and do those things, that's not the true picture that's painted in the Word of God. But I come back and I say, there's things that are painted here very clearly of us, through Jesus' name, walking in power, and us walking in a clear way that it challenges me, it challenges my own heart. And I ask myself the question, am I walking in the fullness of all that God really wants me to be? I ask myself that question. Our tendency is to depend on ourself rather than God. And if I had just simply come and just say, can we put our dependency and trust on God? Can we do that? Lord bless you all.